The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
If you had to dig a hole, say a big trench at work, and they just said, go dig a trench. And I said, where's the shovel? Oh, we're not giving you a shovel. You just had to dig the trench, figure out a way. That would be tough, wouldn't it? You'd think your boss had lost his mind. And you'd be right. Or that he was like really cruel. Looked like he's seen a Cool Hand Luke or something. God's word is the shovel that God has given us to dig a hole in life. And it amazes me how many Christians are totally unequipped because we don't dig into the Word. We don't let it change our lives. We don't let it mold us. We don't let it shape us. And consequently, we're kind of blown by the world. The world adopts an attitude, and I see it all the time. Christians who start to think the way the world thinks, and the world says something's right, God's Word says, no, it's not. And they say, oh, but everybody else says so. Well, okay, but I'm not judged by everybody else. So we're going to talk about 40 days in the Word. Love the Word, learn the Word, live the Word. And I love this whole idea. Let's talk about the next thing. We got some things we want to see you accomplish in here. First of all, we talked about inspiration last week. And just go ahead and run through the list, Jeremiah, because I don't have them here in front of me. Why can I trust the Bible? Frank did a good job. Today is foundation. What's the purpose of the Bible? Illumination, how can I see what God wants me to see? Interpretation, this is a big one. How do I know what it means? This is going to be a big one for us, guys. Integration, how do I integrate God's Word into my life? Application, how can I use God's Word effectively? If you don't work your way through these steps, see, there are an awful lot of people that have head knowledge. You ever know somebody who knew all kinds of stuff about the Bible and didn't live a bit of it? What good is that Bible doing him other than condemning them? If you know to do good and you don't do it, James says, to you is sin. So if you've got all this stuff that you know, but you don't put it into practice, what good is it? You're just head knowledge. So when we talk about integration and application, this is really where the rubber meets the road. But today, we're going to talk about foundation. What is the purpose of the Bible? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace, and the good things that you're doing in us, God. And I pray that over the next few moments that you would just open our heart to hear from you, God, because I believe today sets the tone for where we're going. Thanks, Father. We ask in your name. Amen. What we're going to talk about today is how the Bible changes us. How the Bible changes us. And the Bible does change us. It changes us for the better, thankfully. Okay. Not for the worse. Have you ever had anything change you for the worse? All right, maybe just me. Not you guys. Maybe just me. The Bible is unlike any other book. Now, I like to read. Right now, I'm hating reading because I'm reading for school. I'm finishing my master's degree, and I'm tired of going to school. I'm tired of reading spreadsheets. I'm doing my master's in business, and I'm tired of spreadsheets and all of that. I see Judy back there laughing. Yeah. It's if I only had a week to live, I would do spreadsheets every day, because it would make every day seem like it was a year. It really would. It was just. But the Bible is different than all my textbooks because the Bible is holy. It's holy. It's set apart for God. It's holy. It has the supernatural power to change things. Why? Why does this one book, why does it Why does it have the supernatural power? Because it's God's word. This is the word of God sent to us. You pick up your Bible, you're not just reading what a bunch of dudes wrote years ago. You're reading God's word. Everything in the universe was spoken into existence. That's what the Bible tells us. Psalm 33:6. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. I remember reading this when I had teenagers at home. And I remember thinking, it's obvious, I'm not God. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. I would merely speak, and the trash did not get emptied. The rooms did not get cleaned. All the parents said amen. Yeah. But look at the power that God had. God merely spoke, and the heavens were created. That's power, and that's the power that is available to us. God's power is available to us through His Word. John 6, verse 63 says, and this is Jesus speaking, the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. God's Word is your life. You need to be involved in God's Word. Why? Because that is what gives us life. It feeds our spirit. How would you look if you didn't feed your body? Not like me, obviously. Okay, you are overthinking it. I just said it. You'd look like a little 98-pound weakling. Because you have to feed your body to make it grow. You've got to feed your spirit to make it grow. You've got to put God's Word into your life to watch your life in the Holy Spirit grow. It's just that way. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. There's a couple of words there. The Word of God is living. The word there is zao. As close as I can figure it out anyway. In Greek. And it means to live, to breathe, to be among the living. Not lifeless, not dead. To be in full vigor, to be fresh, strong, efficient. Active, powerful. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. It moves in us. It's alive. And it's active. The word here is energeis, which is where we get the word energy. There's energy in God's Word. It does great things to us, through us. And just like a highly skilled surgeon, it can cut right through all of our bone and marrow and get right down to the heart of the matter. Let's be honest. We come together, we put on masks, don't we? Well, some of us do. I'm sure none of you guys do because you're all perfect, but we put on these little facades, don't we? We try to act tough. We try to act like nothing bothers us. We try to act like we got it all together. Meantime, on the inside, we know a different story, don't we? When you look in the mirror, you know the true story. God's Word is able to cut through all the facades, all through the junk, all through the hurts and the pain and the sorrow and all of the pride and prejudice and get right down to the heart of the matter, which is your heart. Make no mistake about it, guys. God's Word is powerful. And it changes you. So I want to give you 7 ways the Bible changes us. First of all, and you can follow along. It's there in your notes. You can write this down. First thing is, it recreates my life. God's Word recreates my life. What are we talking about? We're talking about lives that were broken. Lives that were lost in sin. And God's Word gives us the power to be God's kids. God's children. This is salvation we're talking about. Now, let me tell you something. Going to church doesn't save you. Amen? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. I've said it a million times. Going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. You cover your body with secret sauce and sprinkle sesame seeds on your forehead. You're not a Big Mac. You may be a nut job, but you're not a Big Mac. You can come to church every Sunday. You can pay your tithe. You can teach Sunday school. You can do all of the outward stuff, and that's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is living for Christ. James 1:18 says, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. How did God say, I'm going to give these people salvation that's going to save their lives, make them better? How did He do it? Through His word. He gave birth to us through the word of truth. Without God's word, we couldn't be saved. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. To make you wise for salvation. He's going to show us what we need to do. God's word recreates our life because it leads us to the Holy Spirit and we accept Christ and His forgiveness. The Bible is often compared to a seed. 1 Peter 1:23, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. I got news for you. If God wants me to grow a plant, He better give me imperishable seed because I have a black thumb. You know, my grandpa could grow a rose on a brick. You give me the best soil, the best plant, I will kill it. I'm just not, you know, I don't have a yard at my house. I took it all out because there's no sense torturing that grass. I was just going to kill it anyway. I started to feel convicted that I was murdering all these grass seeds. So I got rid of it and I got a rocks. It's hard to mess up rocks. I water them, they're not growing, but I don't know. But that's okay, I watered the grass, it didn't grow either. James 1:21, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, I want you to notice that first word there. One of the things we learned in this week's study, in our home studies, was talking about pronouncing it, taking each word and applying it to your life individually. I want you to look at this first word, because this is the one that gets a lot of us. Humbly. Humbly accept. When you're going to come to Christ, you're going to come to Christ stripped down, spiritually naked, and you're going to say, I need you, God. This is not one of those things where you walk in and say, yeah, you know, you'd be glad to have me, Jesus. Because, you know, come on, I got the tools. I got the talent. I'm ready to roll. And God's going to say, shut up. I may be paraphrased, but that's the way. If I was God, that's what I would say. You know, God's not interested in your talents. Now, He's going to use your talents for His glory. What He wants is a humble spirit. He wants somebody that will come to Him and say, God, I need you. Come into my life. Make me clean. I want to be yours. And if you come to God with any other attitude, you're missing Him. Humbly accept the word. And this is where we lose some people. They refuse to be humble. Humbly accept the word, which can save you. Second thing is, I like this one, it eradicates my guilt. I like that word, eradicates. Doesn't it just sound final? We are eradicating polio. We're eradicating the enemy with like a big nuclear weapon. Just eradication just sounds cool, doesn't it? Wouldn't you like to eradicate something just once? I'm gonna eradicate you. When I was playing football, I could have used that word, but it was football, and most of the guys wouldn't have understood it. You're gonna what? I don't know. Here's what I hear from people all the time. I feel so guilty. I can't come to Christ. I feel so guilty about what I've done. I need to clean my life up before I come to Christ. Really? When you're dirty and you need to take a bath, do you take a pre-bath? I can't get in the tub. I'm dirty. Well, that's what the tub's for. When you come to Christ, you don't have to clean up your life to come to Christ. He's going to clean it up. That's His job. That's what He does. He eradicates guilt. 1 John 1:9, I love this. If we confess our sins, Amen. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I want you to look at all the words there. If we confess. So where does it start? We're back to humble, aren't we? If we confess, you got to confess. Yeah, I did it. He's faithful and just and might forgive us our sins. Oh, it doesn't say that. He will forgive us our sins. Is there any doubt in your mind that right now, if you cry out to Christ, if you confess your sins, He will forgive you no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you are, that God's going to forgive you? Do you have any doubt at all? You shouldn't. We serve a loving God who doesn't want any of us to go to hell. He wants all of us to live for Him. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You ever have somebody that always held your past and stuff against you? Yeah, it wasn't God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Husbands and wives aren't always that way. Parents and teenagers aren't always that way. Husbands and wives fight. Well, you know, you never take me anywhere. I took you to the hardware store last week. My wife is not exactly thrilled by a trip to the Imperial stores. But don't you hate it when somebody brings up your past? Oh, yeah, but you did that, you did that. No, no, no. God doesn't do that. If you're ever praying about doing something for God and all of a sudden somebody starts rubbing your nose in the past you've had, it's not God. That's the devil trying to keep you from doing something for God. And that should excite you because that means that you're about to do something great. Devil's not going to fight you. The devil is not going to fight you if you're just going to be nothing. So when the devil starts rubbing your nose in what you've done in the past, I like the bumper sticker said, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. His future being cast into the pit of despair and never coming back. Hey, my God can forgive me. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Don't give in to it. It eradicates guilt. God's word eradicates guilt. Jesus told the disciples, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. There it is again. There it is again. It's God's word that does the cleansing. It's not you. You don't have the power to cleanse yourself. If you did, you'd have done it. But see, that's why you walked around with your head hung low in guilt all the time. Because you didn't have the power to forgive yourself. You didn't have the power to cleanse yourself. You needed God's word. John 15:3, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Isn't this powerful? Now do you understand why we have to have the word of God in us? Think about this. If you this week have been dealing with the fact that you did something in your past, you asked God to forgive you, but it keeps coming up. Aren't these verses alone enough for you to know? No, shut up, devil. I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm forgiven. Let's go. He's telling my grandson, let's rock and roll. We took him to his first movie. We thought seeing Happy Feet would be good for him. You know, because he had music, had penguins. Hey, it's a good combination. He was 2.5. And he looked over at Lynette halfway through the movie. He says, I'm ready to rock and roll. Evidently, the penguins, not the experience we were looking for. Are you ready to rock and roll? Are you ready to get beyond the past, the degradation, and all the stuff that you went through before, and just say, you know what? I'm clean. I'm clean. Praise God, I'm clean. Let's roll, baby. Let's see what's next. Whew. About to have church in here. Number 3, it activates my faith. Faith is word activated. The promises of God raise our expectations. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's why you're here today. That's why we need to go to church. Because we need to hear the message of God. We need somebody to speak that word to us. Because faith comes from hearing. There's something about being in a room full of it. Now, you guys could have heard this sitting at home, listening on your iPod. But there's something about being in the corporate body together with other Christians, and God's word comes to us, and we realize we're not alone. We realize there are other people just like us that need God's word, that need forgiveness, that need healing, that need faith, and we're all in this together. And you may be a blessing to somebody else today just by being here. Exodus chapter 23 says, I will not give you the whole land in a single year because you wouldn't be able to handle it. Instead, you'll overtake it little by little until you have grown enough to take possession of it all. You think that God's going to give you his will for your life all at once? It would freak you out. I just turned 53. When I was 20, I had a much different view of how my ministry was going to be. If I was at 20, thinking of what I was going to be doing at 53, I don't think preaching to a small church in a school building while I was working full-time as a crime scene investigator was going to be quite in my plans. I can guarantee you it wouldn't be. I will tell you, however, I stand here owing you a debt of gratitude because of the church you are. But I couldn't have handled this at 20. I couldn't have handled the freedom of this place. I couldn't have handled the joy of this place. I would have messed it up. And I'm still not sure I won't. That's why God gave me Frank and Jeremiah. Truer than you know, brother. Everything in my life, every place that I went, all my years of ministry, 30 years of ministry now, have pointed to right here. But I didn't understand it then. I wouldn't have grasped it. I'm so fulfilled doing this. I love this so much. When you expose yourself to God's word, he gives it to you little by little by little. And it starts to take root. And it grows. And look, you're going to make a lot of half steps. You're going to make a lot of, shouldn't have done that one. That's part of learning too. But I will tell you that the satisfaction, the joy that I feel standing here this morning is for every one of you. But you've got to just let God's word permeate you. You've got to let it activate your faith. And he's not going to give it to you all at once. He's going to give it to you little by little by little. And you're going to grow. And you're going to move. And you're going to see things happen. If you go to Taco Bell for lunch and you get a burrito, do you just shove it in your mouth all at once? Well, some of you might. I've seen some of you eat. I've been to dinner with a couple of you. I just try and keep my hands and feet away from the openings. No, more often than not, you take it a bite at a time. God's word is going to give you that bite at a time. Look at this crowd today. We got people sitting on benches because we don't have enough chairs. Now, we're going to have new chairs next week, by the way. In fact, somebody with a truck want to help me. We're going to go to Costco and buy chairs this week. We're going to donate them to the school. Talk to Mr. Johnson this morning. If we had this crowd and all the kids that are out at kids' church our first Sunday, Jeremiah and I both would have quit that day. There ain't no way we're ready for this. This is not happening. We still can't say, good grief, man, this thing's spinning. But it's a good spin. Look, man, I don't care if we have to buy 1,000 chairs to put in here. It's going to be cramped. But you know what? I like the problem of having to go buy chairs. But we had to grow to get to here. And so when I tell you, in my heart, this is just the beginning. When I tell you that I see the day when we have to do this two or three times during the day, that we don't rent Ben Hulse from 8:30 in the morning to 1:30. We rent it until 4 o'clock in the afternoon because we could have two or three services. Or when I tell you that I believe firmly that we're going to spin another church off of this one eventually, we will come to you and say, hey, we want to start a church in Sealy or Brawley or somewhere, and we need 20 of you people to go start and plant this brand new church. How many of you are willing? We got a remnant north and a remnant south and a remnant east and a remnant west, and I'll put them wherever we can. That's the vision that God's put in my heart, and it scares me. And it excites me, and it thrills me, and it makes me stay awake sometimes. Fourth thing it does, it stimulates my growth. This is part of it. Acts 20, verse 32. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. An inheritance. I'm probably not going to get much of an inheritance. I didn't get much from my dad. I think I got a little gold ring. I don't think I'm going to get anything from my mom. And I'm not leaving much for my kids. They can fight over my TV and my car. But God gives us an inheritance. And we're not talking about money. An inheritance really is to get all that rightly belongs to you as God's child. What rightly belongs to you as God's child? And if you think finances, boy, are you selling yourself short. How about peace? You know, the greatest gift I had as a dad is that I raised two boys and God kept them safe. Such a beautiful blessing. I may not be rich, but God, so far, I thank God for that every day, that he's kept my kids, my grandchild. Got a new one coming in May. A girl. We don't know what to do. There has only been one girl in my house since I got married, and I married her. And so this new little girl, and they won't tell us her name yet, by the way, but they're going to have a little girl, and we go by Walmart now. Instead of just heading to the toys and trucks aisle, we're having to like buy little doll things for little girls. I'm out of my element. I don't know how that's going to work. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And this is a good passage, and we're going to take a couple seconds here. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there's four things here, and it's not in your notes. I want you to write this down in your notes if you can. First, underline the word teaching. Teaching shows you the path to walk on. This is how you should do this. When I was on staff at Faith Assembly for years. My uncle was the pastor there. And Uncle Bill, you had to learn, one of the first things you learned on staff at Faith Assembly is how to sweep the walks. Because God forbid you would take that big push broom and just push it in a straight line, because then all the dirt's building up in the cracks. Now, if you know my uncle, that's pretty much dead on. That's him. Okay, so what you got to do is you push it, and then you got to sweep sideways in the cracks. Yeah, well, I heard that enough. Trust me. You have to sweep. And then you get to the cracks and you sweep sideways to the cracks to get all the dirt out of the cracks. Because God forbid there would be dirt in that crack. That could be the difference between somebody going to heaven and not going to heaven, the dirt in that crack. So, when you go to Faith Assembly, you have to learn how to sweep the walks. Here's how you sweep. Now, the second word there to understand is rebuking. Rebuking shows you how you got off the path. Rebuking is when my uncle would come to me and say, there's dirt in that crack. You didn't sweep sideways here, did you? No. Go get the broom. The best thing that ever happened there was when they bought a blower. But even then, you got to blow correctly. You got to blow and then you go sideways. Problem was, he was insane and he passed it on to us. So, teaching shows you the path, rebuking shows you how you got off the path, correcting shows you how to get back on the path. Correcting is when you go get the broom and you sweep through the cracks while he's watching. Or worse, he sweeps the crack in front of you. Then you know, he basically has says, you have no hope. You are so unintelligent that I'm going to have to do this for you, Mr. Godsey. And then finally there's training, which is how to stay on the path. That's when he follows you the next Sunday morning and he watches you sweep the walk. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. This is a church of 450, 500 people at the time, and the pastor is following his youth pastor around, making sure he sweeps the walks correctly at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. Oh. There are a lot of times I wanted to lay hands on him and forget to pray. Just. But you see the thing there? God's word is brief and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. So God's going to show you the path, and if you get off the path, he's going to rebuke you. And then he's going to correct you. He's going to show you how to get back on the path, and then he's going to show you how to stay on the path. That's what God's word does for us. The fifth thing, it illuminates my mind. My mind could use some illuminating. Psalm 119:130 says, "Understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people." Understanding your word. Did we miss one? I think I messed up the PowerPoint. There it is. Understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. Psalm 119:99, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." The two of those put together, look at this. Understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. Now, there are people in religion who will tell you that the average person can't grasp the word of God, that you have to have a preacher do it. You know the difference between you and me? I'm standing here, you're sitting there. I've been called to preach God's word, but as far as us both reading the Bible and hearing God's word, God will speak to you through his word. You don't have to hear me. In fact, I firmly believe in your quiet time this week as you're reading the verses and stuff that we get through the email. And folks, if you haven't signed up for the email, sign up for it. It's a special list we're using, and when we're done with this, we won't be sending you anything else on it. But I encourage you to sign up for the emails. Every day you get the memory verse. Every day you get a verse. You get a link to a video teaching. Powerful stuff. But look, when you're in that quiet time and you're reading that scripture and you and God are working on that scripture, you should get more out of that than you get out of one of my messages. Because this is like a shotgun approach. I'm teaching God's word and it's hitting all these people at the same time. But when it's you and God studying God's word, man, that is just boring right down on you, baby. You need to be getting stuff out of your personal time. Don't think that you have to hear me teach it or Jeremiah or Frank or anybody else teach it. Yes, God has done great things in us and allowed us the gift of communicating what he's doing in us. Understand, to me, that's the difference between a pastor and somebody who's in the church, is that God has gifted me to communicate what he's doing in me. Not that I have any greater knowledge or anything, just that God has given me the gift of communicating that. Does that make sense? Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And by the way, here's the memory verse for this week, Psalm 119:18, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Why would God have us pray this if he wasn't going to open up things to us? Why would God tell us to dig into the word and do great things and apply God's word to our heart if he wasn't going to make it come alive to us? If we're just going to sit like stumps? Oh, I better have somebody teach this to me because I don't know nothing. Come on. See, and I love technology. I love the fact that today, maybe you're not a great reader, you can get Bible on tape. You can download stuff on the internet and have it read to you. Nobody has an excuse not to get into God's word. Sixth thing, man, I'm way behind. It elevates my mood. Whenever you get discouraged, you need a word break. You need a Bible break. Romans 15:4, "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." You're feeling down about something? Read your Bible. And again, we're talking about a systematic approach to reading your Bible, not just, okay, There's my verse. You've heard about the guy, I told you before about the guy that was his way of reading the Bible. He would just thumb through the Bible and then wherever his finger, he would read that verse. Oh, that's God's word for me today. So he flipped it through one day and he read the verse. Oh, Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, that can't be God's word. So he flipped it. And the next one it said, go thou and do likewise. And he thought, oh, no. Yeah. I believe it may be time to quit reading the Bible. See, we got to have a systematic approach to it. And that's one of the great things about this study we're going through is because it is teaching how to systematically read the word. Psalm 119, 114, you're my place of quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew me. One of the things that's going to come out of this week's study, four essentials and six steps for a quiet time. If you've never learned how to have a quiet time with God, you're going to learn that in this week's Bible study. 7, it liberates my potential. Only God knows how to unlock your full potential. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, this is a promise, this is with Jesus. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth does not bind you. The truth sets you free. Understand, if you think you have limitations that keep you from serving God, the truth will set you free from those limitations. Because those limitations are imposed by you, not by God. What's keeping you from being a witness? Not God. What's keeping you from serving God in some awesome, tremendous capacity? Well, you know, I'm too young, Jerry. I'm too old, Jerry. I'm too this, I'm too that. Now, what you are is too weak. God sets you free from those limitations. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, quit telling me what you can't do and start showing me what God can do through you. Man, I want to be like the guy in the Old Testament in his advanced age, and they're divvying up the land, and nobody wanted the place where the giants were. And he said, you know what? Give me the land where the giants are. I think that sounds like fun. I want to be like David. Little freckle-faced 13-year-old, 14-year-old dude. Looks at some 9-foot-tall giant and says, you know what, dude? I ain't scared of you. God gave me a lion and a bear. Oh, and you're going to be the same. I got 3 rocks here. One of them has your name on it, baby. Let's rock and roll. Don't tell me about your limitations, because God gets away from them. God's power, God's word, God's strength is all you need, and it'll set you free to become what God wants you to be. Would you like to have your life recreated? You want your guilt eradicated? Starting to sound like one of those old preachers, huh? Would you like your faith activated? Your growth stimulated? I could get into that, you know? I could. You want your mind illuminated, your mood elevated, your potential liberated? It's all in God's word. It's all there. So how do I gain these benefits? Well, first of all, you got to learn it. You got to learn God's word. Mark 12, 24, Jesus said, your trouble is that you don't know the scriptures. Your trouble? Here's your trouble. Your trouble is you don't know the scriptures. Think about just what we talked about today. How God's word sets you free. How your forgiveness is assured. How your guilt is eradicated. Isn't that going to be freeing for some of you this week? That when you go through and you think about doing something great for God and all of a sudden your past comes and you say, wait a second. That's gone, dude. I'm past that now. Think about it. You got to learn God's word. A lot of times our problem is in our response to the things around us because we don't know God's response to things around us. God, how do I respond to this? It's in the word. Second thing, you need to accept it as my authority. I need to accept it as my authority. Wow. Who is going to call the shots for your life? You or God's Word? 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So, you're reading the Word of God this week, and it says you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it's, but you're walking around feeling like you're stuck to something, or you're this, you're that. Oh, wait a second. I'm going to accept God's Word as my authority, and if God's Word says I'm free, I'm free. If God's Word says I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care. But if God's Word tells me something, I'm going to accept that as my authority. And if God's Word tells me something is wrong, say amen or ouch. I'm going to accept that as my authority. If God's Word says that I'm not supposed to be like everybody else, then I'm going to accept God's authority and I'm not going to be like everybody else. If God's Word says that I have to turn the other cheek instead of lashing out, I'm going to accept that as my authority. I'm going to turn the other cheek instead of lashing out. Is it really that simple? Yeah. Quit trying to explain away the clear truth of what God is saying and just grasp it. Oh, yes, Lord, I know that you said you would set me free, but am I really free, God? Yes. Why are you making this so hard? We complicate things so much, and we say, oh, but this is not what God really meant. Yeah, it is. I'm just dumb enough to buy it. I'm just dumb enough to believe it. Then third, act on it. Act on it. John 13:17, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. All the knowledge in the world doesn't mean anything if you don't do it. Do it. We're going to get a little Nike swoosh put back here that says, just do it. When I was teaching school, I had one of those posters on my wall. Just do it. And underneath, I'd put your homework. And the kids didn't think that was funny. Now, we got the memory verse for this week. What a prayer. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. So what now? Your choice. Do you walk out of here still a slave? Or do you walk out of here free? Do you walk out of here feeling guilty? Or do you walk out knowing that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God's Son, has eradicated your guilt? Do you walk out of here thinking that your life is just for you? Or do you walk out of here knowing that God has something better for you, something bigger for you, that you are going to make an impact for the kingdom of God? I want you to think about that, guys. You are going to have an impact for the kingdom of God. That's awesome. How can you still be sitting down? That's very cool. How can that not just make you go, oh, let's rock and roll? All this week, I want you to think of that phrase. Let's rock and roll. Let's do it. Let's see what God can do. Let's need more than 40 chairs next week. Let's need to really push us to do some other stuff. Let's see what God can do. But it starts in you as you become the person God wants you to be. As you let God's Word permeate you and change your life changes. And it changes the lives of the people around you. Time to get rolling on this. I've done you a disservice. Now you're here. You heard this. Now you got no excuse. Oh well. Too bad. I'd say I'm sorry, but I'd be lying. Finish the
work you have started in me. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.